Amen. Keep saying that. I've had a great week. I want you to know that. Just want to share that with you. And it's been exciting. And I feel the auction was fantastic. And I just know that life is good, and I'm so blessed. And I want to share that with you this morning as we talk about this idea of healing. Now, before I do that, let me share with you that I went to the doctor, hearing doctor years ago, and said that my wife was having trouble hearing. And I said, so what, you know, what can I do? And he goes, well, go home and stand about 20 feet away from her as she's fixing dinner and say, what's for dinner? And if you don't hear an answer, get closer. So I did that. What's for dinner? Didn't hear an answer. What's for dinner? Didn't hear an answer. What's for dinner? Still didn't hear an answer. Got right up close to her and said, what's for dinner? And she said, I've told you four times, chicken. Yes. So I got me some hearing aids. But anyway, this morning I want to talk about this process of healing. And I want to talk about it from the perspective of a woman by the name of Allison Russell. Thank you. Allison Russell. I don't know how many have heard of her. How many have heard of Allison Russell? You see, she's pretty unknown. She's becoming quite a star out of Nashville, Tennessee. And she has a phenomenal story that I think demonstrates the power of love and the power to heal. You see, Allison was born in Montreal. Her father, who didn't know her, did not even know he had a child for many years, was from Grenada. Her mother had a Swiss background, born in Canada, but was only 17 years old. And so she had Allison at the age of 17. And the other problem she had was that she had no source of income. And after about 3 years, it was found out that she was schizophrenic, so Allison was taken away from her mother and put into foster homes. Then about the age of 7, her mother got married. And so she was allowed to go back to be with her mother. But her mother married a man who was an abuser. He sexually abused her from the age of 7 to the age of 15. One decade. She lived through that. And she couldn't understand it. But she had to get out of the house, so she ran away at the age of 15. But she continued at her high school. But she lived in a 70-acre cemetery. And slept out in the nights with a sleeping bag in the wintertime. But she made it through high school. She then was told by a fellow who played the piano that she had musical talent. So Allison learned to play the banjo, taught herself, learned to play the clarinet, taught herself, learned to sing, taught herself, and became a songwriter. And what she sung about and what she shares in her music is her story, her soul's journey of the pain that she felt, of the shame that she felt because of what happened to her and her abusive father. She also is black. And she also felt from her stepfather his racial issues that he took out on her. She said, I never, ever felt like a slave until I met him. And yet, at age 16, this young woman, she's now 45, but that's young to me, this young woman read out of the Nag Hammadi a book, a poem called Thunder, The Realm of Perfection, I think it is. And so I got that out and read it. It's about 6 pages. And in it, and I'd read it before, but in it, it was pretty interesting because it's very confusing. It goes back and forth. You're in this, you're not in this, you are this, you aren't this, that kind of thing, and kind of makes you wonder, what in the world is this saying to me? But what it is, it was describing a world of dualism when there is only a world of oneness. And she read that at 16 years old. And she said that changed her life. So she made a decision. She made a decision to get rid of the shame. She made a decision to not to blame herself. She made a decision that her past was not her future, and that she would not be defined by her past or the actions of others. And the way she did that was she wrote it in music. And her songs talk about the shame, talk about the hurt, talk about the pain, right out there for everybody to hear. She's now in Nashville and just produced a recording, God's Child, I'm sorry. And so what has happened is this woman now is an example to all of us of how we can heal the deepest wounds. And so I want to just share with you a couple of, and I don't have it with me, so somebody's going to have to do the scroll for me. If you go, there we go, that's her. And if you would just share the next slide, please. There we go. There's a whole journey of inquiry that I must go through here, and it's going to be painful. That's a decision she made at 18 years old. It's going to be painful. You know, there are two kinds of denials. There's denial that we use in unity that says, I deny that this has any control over me, has any power over me. And as I say that and honor that, what happens is that which is controlling me seems to dissolve. It doesn't go away, but it doesn't have any power over me any longer. And then there's a denial that said, it never happened to me. I don't have any healing to do. I'm fine. And boy, can that trap us. Can that find us in a situation where we are in that pain and yet we're not able to release that pain. But she understood the denial of saying, this has no power over me. And she lived that. So she became a professional singer. She is a songwriter. She is an instrumentalist. And she is an inspiration. I heard her being interviewed by Katie Newscaster. Correct, that's it, thank you. It was a great interview. And anyway, I wanted to share that story with you. I want to share a couple other things she said. You see, she had an interesting outlook on life. She said, you can find joy and happiness even if you've climbed out of horrible circumstances. I know there are people sitting here this morning who have lived in terrible circumstances. I'm sure of that because it is a part of our society at times. I'm sure that some people have been through some things they never thought they would ever go through that was painful, that surprised them. Maybe financial issues. Maybe health issues. Maybe a family that was dysfunctional. There was a young woman that I know who had a family that was dysfunctional. Over the years, she found her mother was actually mentally ill, that her father could not handle that very well. And so therefore, she lived among this confusion, this frustration, and she didn't like it, and she knew she didn't like it. But one of the things that she did was when she began to become interested in getting married, she would have a discussion with the guys that she'd date. She said, this is what I lived in. I do not, and I've made a decision, I'm not going to live in that and bring my children up in that. Tell me how you deal with issues. How are you going to treat me? How am I going to treat you? Isn't that a great conversation to have before you get married? Yeah. But do you know, it took courage, but also it took an understanding that she said, I'm not going to be what I came from. I'm going to make a change. My children will not experience that. And by declaring that and by acting it out, she has a marriage of 35, 40 years now, two boys, and it is a very loving, calm family where they talk things out. As she said to me one day, it's not that we don't raise our voice every once in a while, but we're not angry. We don't take our stuff out on each other. And she said, we've learned to do that because sometimes we want to. You see, we can make a choice of whether or not we're going to stay in the pain, stay in the drama, stay in that circumstance that keeps us in bondage. Or we can make a choice. And it's either or. It's not hard. It's just painful sometimes to live the pain, experience the pain, and live through the pain, and have new experiences that share love and joy and bring us into life so that we are full of who we are and what we are. Each and every one of us have that ability, have that opportunity. Yes, it's challenging. Yes, it's challenging to go inside yourself and bring up that which is painful, that which hurts. But when we do it, we feel the freedom. And when we feel the freedom, wow, our lives change. Our lives really change. And I got one person who agreed. Back to Allison. She wrote, I am the mother of the evening star. I am the love that conquers all. Is the most defiantly and loving line I have ever written in a song. I am the mother of the evening star. I am the love that conquers all. You each are the mother of the living star. Your children, your grandchildren are the wow. Anyway, let's get back to it, okay? Or each of them are the mother of the living star. And each of us can decide that we're going to conquer all. It won't be easy. But it's a journey, and it's a life's journey sometimes. And when that happens, you see, we lose the idea of separation, and we step into our oneness of who and what we are. We find our power. We start to recognize that we have abilities we never thought we had. I was 30 years old when I learned that I had the ability to learn. You know, I was a great C student with a couple D's. My dad says, about my sister, who was a straight A student, of course, said to me, you know, she's never had a B. And I said, well, neither have I. But then something happened when I taught fifth graders, where I started to learn the levels of intelligence, native intelligence people had. And I found out that I could learn a little better than most people. So when I got my master's degree, I was able to get the A's. But in college, I didn't know didn't have an A in anything. And so it changed my life. Because what it did is gave me more of a sense of security, more of a sense of my self-image. It helped me understand, and then I took on reading and I took on learning for the rest of my life. And we all can do that kind of thing. But we have to face what some people call our demon. Now, there's no demon. It's just our shadow side. And what we do is we just cast light on it. When we cast light on it, we find out who and what we are. And we all are the mother of the evening star. And we all are the love that conquers all. And even more powerful is the fact we do it together here in this setting. We go out into community with it. We share it with one another. And then we really feel the power of Spirit moving not only in this room, but in all of Virginia Beach, all of Chesapeake. Excuse me, I came from Virginia Beach first. All of Chesapeake, throughout the world. That's what you're doing, and we don't even know it sometimes. But you know, I mean, science has said we're connected. String theory says we are connected through our energy sources. And so if we're connected, something that you and I do together becomes more powerful in the world. And we together can make that change. Myrtle Fillmore was a co-founder of Unity. And she said, daily declare that your spiritual life and world, your mental life and world, and your physical life and world are in harmony. Daily declare that your spiritual life, your mental life, and your physical life are in harmony with the universe. And as you do that, you then become aware of what it is that needs to be healed. Many of you probably know the story of Myrtle Fillmore, her healing story. It was, I think, about 1845, and she was about 45 years old, 42 years old. And what happened is that she came down with tuberculosis, which was part of her family's history. And she was pretty much bedridden by that time and thought that she was going to die, or others thought she was going to die. And then she went to hear a guy by the name of E.B. Weeks, who was a New Thought teacher. And what he said, and she heard him say, is that you do not inherit the illness of the past, that you are a child of God, therefore you do not inherit illness. And she took that in and understood it at a level that most people didn't and could not even comprehend at that time. Now this is in the 1800s. She's saying every cell in my body has intelligence. Every cell in my body can be directed by me. 1992, science said cells have intelligence. She was 100 years ahead of herself. But what she did is she, for hours every day, blessed every cell in her body, saw herself as whole, saw herself actually getting up. And after 6 months, she was out of bed. And after 2 years, she was totally healed and did not have a sick day for the rest of her life and died peacefully in her sleep. That's a decision that she made because she understood the power within herself, and you and I can demonstrate that power. I'm not saying that everybody's going to get well from everything. I'm not that naive. I think there's ways in which we transition this human experience. But I am saying that we can be at peace with ourselves when we step in and we embrace that which we are wanting to heal from. Embrace that from what we want to heal from. And when you do that, you will experience healing at a level you never anticipated. Let's now prepare for meditation. So gently, ever so gently, rest in this now moment. And gently say to yourself, I am because thou art. Again, in your mind, I am because thou art. And then, thou art because I am. because thou art love. I am because thou art wisdom. I am because thou art energy, substance. I am because I am healing. I am because I am divine. And understanding that, we take on the light of love. We take on the light of wisdom. And we allow ourselves be in this moment. We allow ourselves to have the courage to feel our pain, to identify some area of our life where we need to separate from the drama and step into the light of love. It's going to take a few moments. To allow yourself to heal, to feel, and to know that the Christ within you is very present in this very now moment. Because thou art. Thou art because I am. I am one with Source. We are one with Source. And through the power of that Source, we awaken into a day where we are healed, we are filled with love, and we truly know who we are. And so it is. Amen and amen.
Spirit, flow through me as I open up to be an expression of your unfolding peace. Show, Spirit, show through me as I open up to be an expression of your unfolding.
Time now for the taking of our love offering here at Unity Renaissance, and here at Unity.